her life. From her earliest years, Melody astounded everyone with the gift she had for music. By the age of 10, she was an accomplished pianist. At 12, she began voice lessons, and with careful training, her voice soon blossomed into rare clarity, range, and beauty. At 9, the spiritual music of her life began. For then, she attended a vacation Bible school, heard the story of Jesus Christ, and accepted him as her personal savior. Her widowed mother was saved several months later, and together they began to attend faithfully that small fundamental church. Melody loved church and Sunday school. The only thing that bothered her was the music. Well, the piano was pounded and the organ wheezed. The choir was made up of two sopranos, an alto, and one man who tried awfully hard to sing both tenor and baritone. Melody was often asked to play or to sing, and she greatly, greatly enjoyed that ministry. But she dreamed of one day serving the Lord in a large church where all the music would be of the finest quality. High school came and went as if in a dream. All of Melody's real energies were poured into her musical studies. In her senior year, she applied to the nation's leading musical conservatory and 3 weeks later received word that she had been accepted. But that letter of acceptance and a revival at the church came in the same week. Night after night, Melody listened uneasily to the evangelist. With every sermon, her conviction grew until one midnight she tearfully wrote to the conservatory that she would not be enrolling. From that moment on, Melody had a sense of purpose in her life she'd never known before. She enrolled in a Christian college, and she was soon caught up in a whirl of activities. Her days were filled with music, oh, literally and figuratively, because Melody fell in love. David was a music student, too. She had never been happier. Then, all at once, everything changed to a minor key. One day in chapel, a returned missionary spoke. As he told of the tragic need on that mission field and the pitiful number answering the call, Melody heard a voice within her say, "I want you to go. I want you." That night in her bed, Melody cried out to the Lord, "Not me, Lord. I'm not a missionary. Well, David and I can serve you right here in America. A missionary? What about my music?" Her struggle became more difficult when she broached the subject to David. "A missionary? Oh, come on, Melody. This is an emotional thing with you. It'll pass." But it didn't pass. Her mother's reaction was frantic. She made several phone calls, then she flew to the college to talk with her daughter. "Now, Melody, dear, just use your common sense. Why would the Lord have given you such a glorious gift of music and then sent you to the end of the world where you can never use it? Maybe my music means too much to me, Mother." "Nonsense, now. Just think about it logically for a while and you'll change your mind." But the more Melody thought and prayed, the more insistent was the call. Finally, trembling and crying, she yielded to the wooing of the Holy Spirit. "All right, Lord, I'll go. I'll do what you want. Her decision brought discordant notes on every side, and yet deep within her heart began a quiet melody of peace. 5 years later, Melody was a missionary in New Guinea. She had been on the field 3.5 years, and she rejoiced in the privilege she had there. She lived in a mission outpost with Mr. and Mrs. Douglas, who had established the work 25 years earlier. Her work was with women and children, and she thrilled at that ministry opportunity. Oh, her music? It was a thing of the past. As were David, home, and her still disapproving mother. The only time she sang was as she led the women in simple choruses, or she crooned over a whimpering native baby. But the music in her heart was growing every day, and that music was sweet and pure and without a single note of regret. In her time as a missionary, Melody had seen many natives die of a mysterious and agonizing fever. It struck swiftly, and its course was irreversible. It struck swiftly again, and this time its victim was Melody herself. The Douglases cabled to Melody's mother, and she came at once. She could hardly control herself. She entered a shabby room, crossed the rough dirt floor, and stood looking down at her only child. She could hardly believe this could be Melody. The fever had drawn and twisted her body. Her face was gaunt and gray. Only her hair was the same. The soft golden hair that curled around her face. The heartbroken mother could not stop the cry of anguish that rose to her heart. Oh, Melody! Mother? So glad you've come. Go on. See the work. The people. Not now, dear. There's no time. I've come to take you. We're going home. Where the doctors get mother. I can't. The Lord wants me home with him. The effort to speak became too great, and Melody lapsed again into unconsciousness. Her mother knelt on the rough dirt floor and tenderly sponged her daughter's fevered face. Then suddenly, Melody roused again. Her eyes opened, and her wide blue eyes were focused at a place somewhere beyond the ceiling, and her lashes were diamonds of tears. Her golden head raised from the pillow, and her voice, strong and youthful now, burst out, "Mother, the music! They're singing. Oh, such singing. And Mother, I know the melody."